Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. All right. Matt Walsh comes up Tuesday in a couple of days, right? Tuesday. And he'll be on the show, Matt Walsh, with his new book. Also, Dana Lash the following week. So both guests coming on. And they're going to be both such a treat, by the way. I love it. Also, Investigator Dave today in the next hour. And we'll be finishing up the hour. I've got some really great stuff for the last hour, too. You just got to hang on for that stuff, too. I want to talk about a couple of things I don't think I've ever addressed on the show. So that'll be kind of fun. You figure you've talked about it all when you've done like 6,500 hours of radio. But no, apparently. Welcome back, Dr. Diet. Make sure you get over there. You know I talk about him a lot. If you're wanting to lose 20, 40, 50 pounds, 100 pounds, 300 pounds, it doesn't matter. It's always usually the same issue. Get over to Dr. Diet. They'll give you some help. And they are fantastic at what they do. Great coaches. And the weekly accountability is really also what will really help you. 628-DIET is the phone number. Tell them we sent you. Big thanks to Jimmy. Thanks for all the dates. If you missed the first segment of the show today, make sure I'll get it on podcast. Just that little bit of the show, just so you can have the dates and information for voting. All right, I want to launch into this. I actually put up a post on Facebook that said, I really need a t-shirt that's after the impeachment with Romney mess, okay, using faith is the reason he did what he did, even though his sole reason for being senator was to get Trump out. After that, and then, of course, with the Vallo Daybell case, if you haven't heard about that case, what a humdinger case that is. In fact, it's so crazy, you do need a whiteboard to figure it out. The case involves so many deaths and craziness. And, of course, they're Mormon, too. They're LDS, Church Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, I guess would now be the politically correct term for my church. And it's just Mormon so much easier. Hard habits are they're hard to break. Habits are hard to break. So there's this case, and there's two missing kids. And this case got national headlines last night because of the fact that there was an arrest, finally, okay, after 5 months of wondering if there was going to be in this case, because you still have two missing kids that haven't been seen or heard from in this case. And their beliefs are probably not a lot of beliefs I would share. They kind of went off the rails a little bit. And there are some groups like that of people that go off the rails. Maybe they like to be the most important person in the room. Maybe they like to kind of showcase themselves as knowing more than everybody else and smarter than everybody else. And they've kind of got their own, channel to God. Well, that doesn't paint the big broad brushstroke for the rest of us sitting out here. And so I jokingly said I needed a t-shirt that said, I'm just a normal Mormon. I'm not the, in favor of Romney Mormon. I'm not the world's going to end tomorrow Mormon. I'm also not the LGBT spokesperson crusader, as far as the BYU news goes, Mormon. I'm just normal Mormon, just a normal gal. And I feel like I've had to say that a lot over the last 3 weeks. It's just been a little insane. So this case pops up, and of course, a lot of people are jumping on the bandwagon trying to paint all LDS people like what is going on with these people. Now, these people, I think, are more of your narcissist people. I think these people kind of get into their own hype, okay? They join these groups, and they get into their own hype, and they start believing their own hype, and they surround themselves with their own hype, and they're really all they're talking about, some of them, is the end of the world. And so they feel, from what's come down the pike, these two got married and they felt like the world's going to end. I think it's July 22nd, just so you know. July 22nd. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm not one of those people, but I do want to tell you a little bit about this case because it's this crazy. And I think, one of the reasons I wanted to bring it up too is my bringing up this subject, am I convicting this person by telling you what's already been documented? because we always on this show talk about innocent before proven guilty. Let them have their day in court. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to paint a story. But when do you get to talk about it too? Because when do you get to talk about how crazy the story gets and how insane it gets? Well, this is a case that's very, very interesting. And it starts out with a gal who got married right out of high school. She divorced the guy, got married again, had a son, divorced him, married a third time, had a daughter. And then of course she wants to divorce him. Well, this gal, Lori, has a brother named Alex, and Alex is, interesting. Alex is a little, I would have to say different. Maybe he kind of follows her around a little bit, does what she says. And, from what all the news has reported, and he assaulted her husband and said he wanted to kill him in court. Okay. That husband ended up dead a few years ago after he won a court battle in shared custody, for his daughter, mysteriously died of a heart attack. Anyway, cremated, no funeral, very kind of interesting case there. Well, she remarried again, husband number four. And this husband, from what everybody said, and this was on Dateline, there was a big, huge Dateline this week on this. Dateline's been covering, it's been national news. And so husband number four, Charles Vallow, she marries him. And she basically then has his two kids, her boy and her girl. And then, of course, they adopt a special needs boy who's actually the biological grandchild of his sister. So the sister-in-law is really the grandparent in this case, and of this little biological special needs boy that they adopted. So now they've got these five kids. Well, things are going along seemingly okay. They're mostly living in Arizona and Hawaii. He seems to be a pretty good guy from all accounts of friends and people that know them. She's pretty normal. And then all of a sudden she meets Chad Daybell, who is one of the producers, one of the distributors of the, you know, more the End of Times books. Well, once they kind of meet and she gets involved with podcasts and some of the people in these organizations, because I know some people in these organizations and they are not cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. They are actually pretty darn good people. But I do think some people, even though they might be good people, kind of went off the rails a little bit. And I think that that maybe, you know, the Chad and Daybell, who was writing these books, he was the author of these books and also distributing these books, Julie Rose books, you know, all the different authors. I had Julie on the show years ago, of their near-death experiences and so forth. Well, they might be kind of maybe the rock stars in some of these groups where they kind of get maybe a little attention, okay? Selling a lot of books to people. Well, she meets him. And then all of a sudden, she goes back and tells her husband that she'll basically kill him if he gets in her way, and that he's a monster, and that she leaves him, comes back, leaves her special needs boy for a while, comes back to him, and then takes money out of his account, and she's taking his cars, and she's removing his belongings. Well, he goes and he takes her name off of the $1 million policy. She doesn't know it. He puts his sister on the policy to take care of his little boy. Because he even tells the courts that she's threatened to kill him. And he also tells the courts and his lawyer that if anything happens to him, it was his wife, soon to probably be ex-wife as they're separated. This was last year. And of course, it's going to be her brother. Her brother and her have done him in. And he's saying right now, they're going to kill me. Something happens to me. This is what I want. So the money then is going to go to his sister. She then has a situation one morning where they're separated. He goes to pick up the son for school, and the brother is there. And an altercation takes place, and the brother said in self-defense, he shoots the husband, Charles Vallow, to death. He says that Charles Vallow, who's a very fit guy and twice the size of this little guy, says that he came at him with a baseball bat, even though there's no real injury of a baseball bat. Lori is at home. She's got the two kids there. She's not necessarily grieving. She just jumps in the car and takes her son to school right after it happens. Comes back. The police are there. Alex says that they were there during the thing. And Lori says, no, we weren't. We weren't there during the thing. Or we were there during the thing. Alex says she wasn't there. So their stories were already very contradictory to each other. So you have a case of the investigators not really investigating, even though he has said, my wife's going to kill me. Nothing. In fact, there wasn't much that was done at the time, and I don't think it really concerned them a whole lot. Even though the brother didn't really have a real plausible story as to how this happened, and you have a dead man, and the next day, Lori's calling in for the life insurance money. Lo and behold, she finds out that the name's been changed. And she's very, very angry. Last time she ever talks to the biological grandmother, which is Charles' sister, and says, basically, shows a picture of the sister then as the beneficiary. Doesn't get her $1 million. Takes the kids, moves from Arizona to Idaho. She's now near Chad Daybell. Chad Daybell, so the kids haven't been seen since September 23rd. Last time the daughter was seen, Lori, her brother, and the two kids went off to Yellowstone. Yellowstone, by the way, is a place, this is the last time that her daughter was seen, who's 17 years old. This is called the Dead Zone. I don't know if people realize this, but there's an area of Yellowstone in Idaho. It's uninhabited. A jury cannot be assembled, and the criminal would be able to have a fair trial, meaning that they can't receive any legal punishment for major crimes in this particular area of Yellowstone. And I don't know if people realize that or not. Anyway, she hasn't been seen since then. The little boy hasn't been seen since September 24th. She enrolled him out of school. She tried to sell his service dog. She sold off most of their belongings. She put the other belongings in storage in October. She didn't pay. She stopped paying on those belongings, bikes and so forth, pictures, photo albums. She's seen moving things about with two men, Chad Daybell and her brother Alex. Big, huge tubs, heavy, heavy tubs, in and out for like 2 weeks. Then, of course, Tammy Daybell, Chad's wife, all of a sudden, after spending a couple of years telling people that she was going to die young, he had this premonition she was going to die young, she tries to get out of her car, and there's a man in the back of her car, standing behind her car, shooting at her with what she thinks is a paintball gun. It's actually a silencer on the gun, is what they think, because he actually tried to shoot at Lori's nephew, too. So, I know, it gets crazy. Tammy then, 10 days after that incident that she even talks about on Facebook, ends up dying in her sleep mysteriously. Okay. Very small autopsy was performed. It was really kind of refused by Chad, her husband. They have 5 kids, by the way, grown kids. Anyway, they buried her in October, and she was healthy, 49 years old. Well, the two of them, Chad and Lori, Lori's without a husband now. That husband died last summer. Tammy died in October. They go ahead and get married within 3 weeks. They're off to Hawaii. No kids in sight. No kids in tow. They're not over in Hawaii looking for schools. In fact, it was said that Ty Lee was so worried about JJ that she had the opportunity to go and live with a friend. But she opted to stay with Lori, her mother, and her brother because she was worried about him. Chad and Lori have a 3-month honeymoon, marriage pictures with no kids in them, over in Hawaii, staying over in Hawaii. They keep lying to people, telling people that they don't have any kids, no minors. Or Lori has told people that her daughter died years ago. I mean, all kinds of stories. In fact, when the police went to go search for the kids in Rexburg, Idaho, I'll get back to that when I come back. Be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. I know, it's a crazy case. There's a lot of details coming out, but it's amazing how many deaths are connected to this one woman. And in this case, of course, it takes place in Arizona, Hawaii, Texas, and Idaho. Utah. And so it's been kind of a strange, really, really strange case. And there's so much documented about it. It's kind of crazy. When the grandparents called to do a welfare check because they hadn't heard from their grandkids, and said that when the last time they talked to their grandchild, this little boy with special needs, he's autistic, that it was a real rehearsed phone call, like he was made to read something. And it was 30 seconds long, a FaceTime. And so they got really worried and concerned when they weren't hearing from the kids after Lori Vallow moved the kids to Idaho and to Rexburg. And so they did a welfare check. Well, the police go to the apartment to go find them, and Chad Daybell's outside, right? And which was really strange. This was in November. He was outside and kind of acted like he didn't know Lori and didn't have her cell phone. The brother answers the door. The brother's always around. And he answers the door, and he says that they're with their grandparents. Tells the police that. Well, the police go, well, no, they're not. The grandparents are the ones that sent us to do the welfare check. And then the story is corrected by Lori, who says, oh, no, they're down in Arizona with a friend of mine. So they go down to Arizona. They call Arizona. Arizona goes down to check to see if they're at this friend, and the friend's not there. And so Lori then says, well, they're at a movie. They're seeing Frozen 2. And that didn't pan out. And then that person calls the police and says, well, Chad and Lori both asked me to lie and say that I had JJ. Had the kids. So that's why Lori Vallow is being charged with desertion. Not murder. There's no body. They don't know whether they're dead or alive. The kids have been missing for 5 months, but also soliciting, you know, a crime, because she kept lying to them and telling them where the kids' whereabouts were. So after Tammy Daybell died, these two, mysteriously in her sleep, these two get married after 3 weeks. Okay. They go to rent an apartment, and the woman does a background check on Chad Daybell. And she says, well, I'm noticing that your wife just literally died weeks ago. I kept checking the date. My gosh, what's the story there? And he said, well, I looked over at her, just hours after she died. She looked very, very peaceful. And I just knew that she was helping me from the other side to find love again within hours of her death. So there's so many weird things going on with this case. And then, of course, the police are getting more suspicious. They decide to exhume Tammy's body. The day that decision's made, the following day, the brother, Alex, dies sort of in a strange way, dies and looks like kind of like an overdose or a poisoning or something like that, up in the bathroom of the place he's living. He had just married a woman 10 days prior, and the stepson called it in and didn't even know they were married. Really strange. Alex's wife was also kind of in the kind of end times kind of craziness as well. So now you have, if you're keeping score here, you have Lori Vallow with two dead husbands. Of the five husbands that she's got, two dead. You have her brother that's dead. You have two missing kids. You have two people shot at. They think in both cases it might have been the brother, Alex, that is dead now. And that now you've got Chad Daybell's wife is dead. And these two go get married. They go to Hawaii. They've been in Hawaii, and they've had a long 3-month honeymoon. And she was arrested last night. So this story has gotten some major, major coverage. There's a lot of people in the state that know some of these people involved in this case. I myself have even emailed back and forth with Chad Daybell a couple years ago, because he had some books that he possibly wanted to have on the show, but I didn't have him on. I didn't have the guests on the show. So. You know, you have a situation, and there's so many more details I'm not even talking about. There's so much to this story. There's so many twists and turns that you really do need a whiteboard to figure it all out. And, of course, I always believe in innocent before proven guilty. And I hope she explains all of this. I really do. I can't wait to hear what her explanation is. She'll be extradited to Idaho. She'll have a hearing today to extradite her to Idaho to explain, but you still have two missing kids. And we've had two missing kids since September. And so September 8th was the last time Ty Lee was seen. And the last picture they have of her was at the entrance gate at Yellowstone. And then the little boy had a babysitter hired through care.com on the 24th of September. And the girl was told that it might be a bigger gig. And then all of a sudden the next day told that he was shipped off to the grandparents' house. Lied to. So there's been a lot of lies been told about the whereabouts of these kids. And Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell even calling their friend in Arizona to ask her to be an alibi, which is not, doesn't look good, does it? So there's lots of things about this case, and without going into the weeds and going through the entire case, because I've probably only given you maybe a third, maybe half of it. I think with some people, you know, or cases, there's so much documented. The storage unit where they stopped paying on it and all the kids' belongings are actually still there. You've got them lying to people in Hawaii, telling them that they don't have any kids. There's no kids to be seen. There was never them coming over on an airplane. So you've got parents who absolutely are not concerned with the whereabouts of the two kids. She wouldn't talk to the press. There's a lot of life insurance money involved here. Tammy Daybell had a life insurance policy just over $400,000. Strange things that are documented that defy logic and sort of defy what people usually do in circumstance. When the police showed up right after her husband's death, and she drove in from taking her son to school because she witnessed her husband's murder, got in the car, drove her son to school, came back. She was laughing and talking with the cops and threw a pool party that night. A pool party. The neighbor said loud music, pool party. She was laughing and talking with the police. The police said it was the strangest, weirdest interview they'd ever done because she just could have cared less. So matter of fact, just didn't even care that her husband had just died, that her kids had been there. And I wonder how much her daughter knew and son knew about what happened. And so When people go off the rails, I think was really the point of even bringing this up. And there will be this going on. And how does it happen? How does it happen? Because the reports about Lori Vallow, she was a good mother, used to be a good mother, normal mother, and then she changed. And what changes about people? And how do they get swept up into this kind of thing? And why do they how can they change like that? Well, it seems to me that possibly her brother and her, I don't know what kind of background they come from. I don't know what kind of weird. I do know that they had a sister that died of a diabetic attack. And while the sister was a dead body laying in the house, Alex, the brother, was using her credit card. You know, that kind of thing. It's strange, right? Strange. And so maybe some people just have a propensity to be built a little bit differently than other people. And I suspect maybe some narcissism. I expect maybe something obviously going on with her to be so disassociated from the murders of all these, or I shouldn't say murders, allegedly, the deaths of all these people around. But it seems like the different police departments weren't really pressing for investigations, like big investigations. They weren't really getting concerned very quickly when I would think that you would be. Especially when somebody says someone's going to kill me and then they end up dead, you think that there would be more an investigation on that. So when people go off the rails, when they start giving away dates and times of things, when they consider themselves sort of above everybody, I'm more special, you know, I'm and profiting off of people as well. It can be a big problem. People can spiral out of control really easy. And of any faith, of any religion, of any persuasion, of anything, you can get somebody that goes off the rails. And in this particular case, there's so much there. And even with saying alleged, when you have somebody on tape that there's so much proof and there's so many proof of so many lies and so forth, you know, are you allowed to talk about that? Does that mean that you are sort of quote unquote convicting them before they have their day in court? What if the person stays silent? What if they won't correct any of the information, won't speak out, won't talk? She was just arrested, so it'll be interesting to hear her side. And I'm sure she probably has a side, maybe. She's got her, what she thinks happened or her situation. So that would be, I hope people are open-minded enough to hear both sides. I truly do. I actually really do. It's hard not to come out with some conclusions, though, when looking at all the details that happened. And I see police departments that go after people pretty hard, pretty quickly when you have missing children. When there's missing kids, usually people are brought in for questioning within a week or two. Hey, where's those kids? There was a court order January 30th to finally produce the kids, in which she never showed up. And then now we're at what, February 21st, and she's finally arrested. And I thought, why are they moving so slow in this case, but I see them moving so quickly in other cases? You know, they sweep in, and I've seen feds invent charges. I've seen them do things that are insane. And I've also seen on different sides of different cases how the media can, you know, basically create a story. They did that with the Bundys. They created a story and they wanted to tell this story in the press. And so, yes, we always have to be really, really, really careful about who's creating a story and then who's just telling a story. I think in this case, it's more of a telling of a story. Isn't this insane that all these things have happened within the last year? And a lot of connect the dots, but the dots are all pretty well documented. And I think they're figuring out what a kind of a nightmare mess story this is. Even Dateline was just baffled by it. Just couldn't believe how many different legs of the story there were and how many people were affected, how many deaths. And it's so sad. And I feel so sad for the families. I really do. I feel sad for the kids involved in these families. And in even speaking out, I even hesitated to even do that just because of respect for the children that are affected right now. I can't even imagine. I know that, you know, to me, I guess logic wise, 3 weeks after, Chad Daybell's wife mysteriously just dies, I can't imagine just going off to Hawaii on a honeymoon for 3 months and not being catering to my children who might need me. There's things like that that are just sort of, you just can't believe maybe some of the things that have taken place, especially, you know, getting married like that so quickly after two spouses have died. It is a strange case. And I do always go in with that reservation of making sure that I don't jump to conclusions. I'm trying not to. I'm trying to stay objective, and I'm trying not to say, you know, that the kids that they were murdered just because I don't know. Who knows? But it sure doesn't look good. It sure doesn't look good. And the case has been hitting. I know that you can probably watch the Dateline on Netflix or Hulu. They covered it pretty well. East Idaho News has covered it a lot. Nate Lund, he's covered the story to great detail. He even flew to Hawaii to interview them. And they just are not representative of a very large, large, large group of people. And so I just wanted to make that known. I feel like this last 3 weeks, it's been really tough, to tell you the truth. There's just been a lot of a lot of people kind of ganging up a little bit on my religion, which is really tough because we're over here going, hey, this isn't a representation of the majority of us. So with that being said, we move on to the next hour. Investigator Dave is with me. We're going to be talking about some interesting backstories. World War One, World War Two, the media, and he always brings something fascinating when he comes to the show, and I always love that about Investigator Dave. So it'll be really fun to have him on board. And then when we get to the last hour, I've got a lot for the last hour too. I said plagues. I should have said locusts. There's a lot of just crazy stuff going on around the globe that I've got to talk about too. And we might even talk about paganism a little bit. There was an article about it that kind of struck me, and I want to share something with you that I hadn't realized. Yeah, I hadn't realized it, and I had thought about it in the past, but I hadn't connected these dots, and I wanted to share that thought with you in the last hour as well. And you can chime in too. Be right back.